Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's for episode number 485 of the MailRight podcast. That's right. You found one of the top 100 real estate marketing podcasts that exists. If you're on Apple or iTunes or wherever it is, just hit that like button, smash it a little bit. John and I would deeply appreciate it. Now, today's show, which we're super excited about, is real estate case studies that win clients, a inbound marketing strategy I've used to tremendous success and results over the years. Before we get into that, though, before we start to tell you all the awesome, amazing ways you can use case studies, let's let John tell you the awesome, amazing things that he's up to and who he is so that you get used to the English voice as part of this podcast.
Oh, thanks, Rob. I need brightening up. It's been a rough day, isn't it? But I'm the joint founder of mail-right.com. We're a fabulous, easy-to-use CRM, AI-generated website builder, and a load of other great tools, all in one really cost-effective bundle. And it starts around $49 month to month. So it's just fabulous. Back over to you, Robert.
Beautiful. All right. My name is Robert Newman. I am the founder of Inbound REM. We are an SEO and AIO first marketing company that focuses on websites that you own, results that you can control, and higher ROI than you can find any place else. If you're interested in any of that, go to Inbound REM and look under the services page, or just look at my bio video and learn a little bit more about me. So let's roll right into this. Case studies. I have done case studies and reviews as my primary method of generating revenue for 10 years. I bootstrapped Inbound REM. We are now at about $3 or $4 million revenue total for nine straight years. The vast majority of people that contact me based on case studies or reviews. And we've used every strategy that John has gone out of his way to design. There's many different types of these kind of case studies that we can talk about. Now, John's going to go into number one for you. So why don't you talk to us a little about storytelling?
Yeah, I did update our shared calendar because I didn't word it very well the first attempt, but I did update it. Tell a story where your client, not your brand, stars. I left out the star in my original notes. And what I mean by that, obviously, it's okay to talk about yourself if it directly is of interest, i.e. it shows your credibility and your efficiency and your knowledge level that will benefit the client. So any information about yourself that's around those subjects, that's fine. But anything else, the client's not really interested. What the client's really interested in is stories that they can relate to that show that you can solve a problem that they've got. That's what they're interested in. So a lot of real estate I see online is that you could say, it's fair to say, you know, I sold these many houses last year, had this much production, I made this much money. It probably does say, it does show competence. But if you take it too far, it just comes across as bragging, basically. I think there's a certain level where it's damaging if you take it too far. They're more interested if you're marketing to a particular niche and your top case studies relate to that particular niche and shows that you solve specific problems that niche might have, I think that's much more powerful. What do you reckon, Robert?
I reckon that if anybody wants to see a case study that has not only generated 2 times more business than the case study is about, but also is an incredible example of this, go to southpasadenahomes.com and look for the blog post titled 30%, I got my client 30% above asking on a teardown. Okay. The case study there is incredible because the client takes a bit of time to explain how he took 15 investors literally competing for a teardown. There was no over embellishment in the title. And what he did was he manually physically called all 15 of these investors and he basically talked to them. This is an area of specialty for him. He understood what he was looking for. He found two people with good plans that needed the area, needed the land, and understood the value he brought in his ability to work with the historical society in the area that they were tearing down this home, which meant that they could get the permits to actually do it. All of those things connect, those dots connected. And then he explained how he started the bidding war between those two investors that literally took some place. This was not a house, John. This was a spray painted walls and floors that were falling apart and all this different stuff in South Pasadena. The house should have been torn down from the gate, but it was still standing. And so he got somebody to spend $1.1 million instead of $735,000 on a property that they were going to have to tear down as soon as they bought it. It was incredible. It was incredible. An incredible case study. Explained exactly how he did it. Now, when you're giving case studies, what you're trying to do is put the person who's reading the case study in the shoes of the story. That's what you're doing. That's why it's so important to tell a story where your client is the star, not your brand. You don't talk about you. You talk about the circumstances and the work and the result. And then that will sell you in a way that nothing else can, especially if it all happens to be true. I love storytelling case studies, especially when you work your ass off to get the case studies. Like a lot of my reviews take me years and years to get. And clients have to make 10 times what they spent with me before I can ever get a review publicly posted. So I've spent years getting them. So it makes it so sweet when you finally get it and they're true. John, this is also something I'm incredibly hot on, which is create a familiar structure. I'm curious to know where your source was for that because I like archetypes.
Yeah, I did a bit of research on this. I got about four or five resources. I think I got that one from the Content Marketing Institute.com. I can put the links into chat. I'm not sure if I sent the links to you, but I was doing research after I've sent you your email. But yeah, that's where I got it from. And, because I noticed with the ones you do and the ones you write for people, you've got a structure and you do research online, folks. I don't think, well, maybe you know this, I don't. Maybe there's some science behind it, but I think it's more based on experience, what's worked and what isn't. But I'm just surmising that. I don't know if there's actually any science behind structure. But if you're going to put the effort in, it's best to see online or go to Rob's website, and he's probably got some examples on there, and have a structure that's worked for other people because they've probably done the pain of testing it. What do you reckon, Rob?
There's so much science. Human beings have been telling stories for thousands upon thousands of years. There is a lot of study that says that we're psychologically wired to tune into certain stories. That's why a lot of our global fables are literally almost the same. And yet, culturally, those stories were told theoretically by completely different people at completely different generations, completely different times. Yet, sometimes you look at them side by side and you say it's the same story. It's just a duck instead of a goose or whatever. And here's the thing. That is because certain story structures resonate with humans. Her hero's journey is the most common story structure.
You're talking about Campbell and his book and archetypes and that. Do you know if there's any? And I'm not putting that down at all because I attempted to read the book and I just couldn't do it. I don't actually find him a very engaging writer. I've listened to it. A bit, but I had to stop by it. I think these archetypes and that there's a lot to it. But I was talking about, do you know if there's any structures that there's real hardcore scientific where they've done peer study, you know, and they're compared one control group with another? Or is it just based, which I'm not poo-pooing, because I do actually believe if you look at ancient Greece or powerful stories, you're totally right. They have a similarity, don't they?
Like the Odyssey.
Yeah.
Homer's Odyssey, probably the most significant recorded version of a hero's journey that's ever existed. And in very many ways, the first true revenge story and the first spaghetti western all wrapped up into one. Okay. And when you start saying, is there any research? Well, not in quite the same way that you're talking about, but Campbell stole from Jung. Jung spent a lifetime documenting his research, but because, excuse me, guys, my bad. Because of the nature of his study, he was never able to publish numbers like Kinsey, because he wasn't doing studies. He was working with clients. But he did so much work on establishing like all of his dream recording as psychoanalysts when it came to journaling and things like that. He noticed similarities in the way that different people in different parts of the world, different cultures were journaling the same kind of thing, which made him spark off and write a book called like Man's Symbols or something like that.
Yeah, that's a idea. I have read that. It's the same problem. It might be just down to me. The same problem with Campbell. I have attempted. That's the only one I could get my head around because it's autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the one we're talking about when I think he goes to Africa. But the other books he's written, I can't make head or tail of them, but I've been influenced by other writers, a British writer who did a couple of biographies on Jung called Anthony Storr. And I've been influenced by those, but attempting to read Jung's own stuff, I just had to give up. It just didn't gel with me, Robert.
And I swear by him. I've built a career around him. Yeah.
I really like the ideas, archetypes and other things he talks about, but I've had to read like other writers that have read extensively his material. I just couldn't get my head around reading his stuff, you know.
For everybody that's listening to the show, if you get curious, you can go to YouTube and type in Jung. And you'll get two or three AI representations that are doing an excellent job of taking basically Jung's thoughts and taking out some of his Jung was clinical and a rambling writer. He is very hard to follow. Okay?
Rambling. That's it while you're putting it. Yeah. Rambling, isn't it?
Yes. And so I also had a hard time getting through his stuff. What I don't have a hard time doing is there's a lot of really great people who have, I don't want to use the word dumbed down, but they've got like cliff notes, like they take the main ideas, throw it into videos, and they've animated and they've done all sorts of cool stuff. And so if you want to know like Jung's Red Book, his period, go just YouTube it, everybody, because it's an excellent source to understand structure storytelling.
Do you think, I think the other factor, he could speak reasonably good English, but he was writing in German and it was translated from German to English. And I know they have great, you know, the people that do these translations are highly educated and experienced, but I still think it's very difficult, especially when you're dealing with a rambling writer like Jung and it's such a vast subject. There must be something lost in the translation, I would have thought.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to a break and then we're going to come back. But the answer is yes, there's lots of people that talk about structure and writing. And there's a lot of great, like marketing copywriters who are quite brilliant. Seth Godin is one of them, even though I'm not the biggest. I'm more of a fan of Jung than I am of Seth. But Seth is also a brilliant writer. He is very good at what he does, which is how he's become so famous. So There are many, many, many great places to go to copywriting. If you want to get somebody who's good at digital blog writing, go to neilpatel.com.
I've actually interviewed him, Rob.
Neil?
What?
Seth or Neil?
No, not Jan, Seth.
Oh.
I've actually interviewed him. It was about 6 years ago, but I have actually...
It makes me want to cry. I'm going to cry right now. How did I not get a chance to do that?
Well, it was on my other show.
You and this other show. All right, ladies and gentlemen. That's John casually mentioning that he's got one of the top WordPress shows in the world.
I would say that it's one of the most consistent. I think I'm on episode 978.
It's pretty good. All right. We'll be right. It's beyond pretty good. If you haven't tuned into it, check out wptonic.com. It is a very big show. John gets lots of notable guests. He does incredible roundtables. He's got it posted to numerous channels. It is all things WordPress related. So if you're going to build a website on WordPress or you've already built one with me, checking it out is not such a bad idea. All right. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRite. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-write.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's episode number 485. I am here with my fearless co-host, Jonathan Denwood. He is famous for many things, but the
blabbing, famous for just blabbing. I'm hot and bothered today. It's been been all over the place today. Oh dear. Here we go.
All right, so. We just briefly mentioned the fact that because we haven't mentioned it in a little while. It's only fair to mention everybody that John runs one of the longest established, best regarded podcasts on WordPress. He was just telling me he actually managed to interview Seth Godin for that other show. Seth Godin is a legend. He's like saying, here's one of the people that you'd most like to meet in the entire world, Robert. And I met them. I don't care about celebrities, but God, the luminaries in the marketing field, God, I wish I could meet some of them. Anyway, he met Seth Godin, which I find to be so cool. When we're talking about case studies, the next thing to do is to make it visually appealing. How would you go about doing that, John?
Well, I think visuals are important. I think video, I've been busy the last 6 weeks, and I kept my writing up on my other, my blogging and that, but especially in the age of AI, you've got to add video to it. You've got to add calls for action, downloadables. You've got to mix it up with good visuals as well. And on most of the stuff I now produce, I put one or two videos and I try and jazz it up. And that Google seems to like that, but so if, there's a lot of people out there saying that articles are finished, blah, blah, blah. I don't really believe that. I think the past year has been extremely turbulent dealing with Google. I'm not quite sure even that Google understands what they're doing. They've been feeding it out. So there's been a lot of updates. There's been a lot of people that have seen their traffic collapse, come back, collapse again. It seems to be all over the place. I think the SEO experts that I listen to, there's a group of podcasts that I listen to around SEO experts because I tend to walk a lot in the morning and late afternoon. And that's when I listen to these podcasts, and I think it settled down a bit, but I think having good visuals, having engage video, I think, and I notice with what you do on your own website with your team and what you recommend to your own clients is this, mix it up with video, have good graphics, have it visually appealing. I don't know if I'm boring him, because when he starts typing, I don't know if I'm boring Rob or...
No, I just had to take some notes real quick. All right. So, no, you're not boring me. Sorry about that. It's just, I had to respond to something on my screen.
They're always after you, aren't they, Rob? People, there's always something to do, isn't there, Rob?
Well, it just depends. So some of the time it's actually people I actually have to pay attention to, who I try to let everybody in my life know that from 2 to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Thursdays, I'm podcasting. And 99% of the people in this world respect that, except for the two people that come into my house and work on Thursdays, because I had the brilliant idea that I would do everything all on one day. And it makes so much sense on
paper. It does, doesn't it? It does. Yeah. It doesn't quite make sense, does it? When you actually try and do it, does it?
It doesn't. Because all of a sudden somebody's like, hey, I've got this thing I'm about ready to buy for the work I'm going to do on your house. Do you need it? It's like...
So I do Thursdays on my busiest day because I try and get everything done on a Thursday.
Exactly. Well, in terms of, we try very hard. You can do a lot of cool things with, and it's becoming cooler faster because of AI. You can do lots of cool visuals, use Midjourney for better thumbnails, use Photoshop has jumped in the AI game. And I'm hearing from my team that their tools are actually pretty good. There are other tools that we use. We use Canva a ton to do compelling.
Oh, yeah. Just a quick, I don't know if you heard of this new AI image editor from Google in their Gemini suite. It's got a funny name. It's got a really strange name. I ran out of time today. It came up on my feeds and it's supposed to be really, really good, but it's got some weird name. But
I'll look at it. I mean, I'm a big fan of Google, so we'll have to take a look at the image generator. But so one way or the other, we want to put something compelling, and compelling can be a lot of different things for your audience. My team does this really cool thing where they go through the videos, and as they're editing them, they find the one frame, like this frame, for those that are watching, like I'm not, somehow you catch me doing, and then...
He does that after he's talking to me, folks.
And then they capture that and use it on the title. And that's where I think that, like, you could do something compelling. Like today, as soon as we get down here, John, I'm going to do it. My next video is how to basically AI-proof your business, except that's not the title I'm using. I'm using a cooler, more exciting, title. That's really what the subject is going to be. And so we're going to have to do some kind of cool thumbnail to go along with it. No doubt my team will take something where I'm gesticulating wildly with my little lightsaber, and they're probably going to use that on the thumbnail. I think that it's whatever the means that you have at your disposal to be creative, whether you've got a budget for Fiverr or Canva, or you have to use AI because that's the time that you've got and all you have time to do is put in a prompt, just make sure you do something. That would be my comment. All right, we're down to the last one in terms of case studies. The last note here, and it's a big one though. You can do a lot of different formats of case studies. John, I'm going to jump into this. There are narrative case studies. There's descriptive case studies, exploratory and explanatory. All case studies. And each one of these is different. Narrative is talking in the third person, or it can be, where you're explaining both sides. And it's also, by the way, narrative is oftentimes called storytelling, but it's narrative. It's like, and then this guy did this, and then the other guy did that, and then this guy did this, and then I did that, and it's narrative. Descriptive is usually personal, really personal. Like you describe down to the last detail what happened, like the case study I referred to on SouthPasadenaHomes.com and Derek Vaughn. That was a descriptive case study. Exploratory case studies are what John and I do in terms of reviews. And exploratory is oftentimes thinking out loud kind of thing, where you look at maybe the pros and cons or logic or home builder, and you go, they're building with this fake but highly experimental material that should insulate the home in the winter and lower electric bills. That's like exploratory. So exploratory, the idea, you know, in terms of the case study, and just you give an opinion. All I can tell every single person listening to the show, just make real sure you use the words "in my opinion" so that nobody gets confused for you stating a fact. All right. And last but not least, explanatory case studies. This is one where you're a really, 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 really qualified expert. And now you're going to explain to every single person out there what the case study means. And because maybe you've got numbers or marketing stat data and you've got spreadsheets and dense material, explaining it, interpreting it is a really great kind of case study. At least that's what I thought when I read this list. How did you intend it when you wrote it, John?
Well, I just thought the ideas from all the research I did, but I have heard these for general description of topic areas. Topics, probably not the right word. I don't know what other word to use, really. Like categories, that's probably a better one. But it makes sense to me, narrative, descriptive, exploratory, explanatory. It makes logic to me, and I thought you did a good outline there. I think they're good signposts about when you're thinking about the case studies, are you going to hit one of these four categories, basically? So that's why I included it, and you did a good job, Rob.
Excellent. All right. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, my world is collapsing in on me. We got a small, like, late start, and I'm just literally getting blown up to the point that I'm going to have to make an exit one way or the other. But before we go, if anybody cares to, check us out at inboundrem.com. Service is an about page. I'm going to let John give you the same information. Hit, smash that like button. Wherever you're listening to us, please, for the love of God, do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. All right. John, how would you like people to reach out to you?
Yeah, instead of that, really, Rob, I want to say to people, if you're listening on the phone, what we're saying, and you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, leave us a review. That would really help me and Rob. If you leave a review, most of the people listening to this, you're listening on your phone and you're probably listening on iTunes or Spotify. It's dead easy to leave us a review. And if you do that, it will encourage more people to listen to the show. And then we'll get into the top 10 and Robert will be fabulously happy. please do that. And it really will. We really helps me and Rob. Back over to you, Rob.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for your earballs today. We so deeply appreciate it. We do our best to bring something that we think is going to help your business every single week. John does a smashingly good job at this. So hopefully you'll tune in to us next week when we're going to have something that's going to entertain, dazzle, and improve your performance.